Mark chapter 9. Say this two-word phrase with me. Staying salty. Staying salty. Staying salty. Now, some people think of a worldly definition of that. I didn't say staying crusty. I said staying salty. Salt. How many like salt? Come on, you enjoy the taste of salt. How many others didn't want to be honest, but you really love salt? Come on, how many likes? Okay. All right. One of my closest friends over the last 40 years put salt on everything. Everything. In fact, so much so you can like it too much, right? You can like salt so much that it carries over too much. But how many realize only 7% of what we know as salt is used for consumption? The rest, the vast majority of what we know as salt is used for industrial purposes, for roadway de-icing and manufacturing processes. Salt is good, but too much salt is bad. If you don't have enough salt in your system, you die. Our bodies basically are like an ocean, salt water. Did you know that? Thank you very much. Just a little dose of salt water. Water in our cells, water outside of our cells, and salt all through our body. But what we know of as salt nowadays, are you aware of, is not really the salt Jesus spoke of in the Scriptures? What we know, and folks, realize, down through the ages, wars were fought over salt, the possession of salt. In the Old Testament, covenant was made by salt, and salt was, they would rub the sacrifices with salt, and literally wars were fought over it. There were times in different places throughout the world that ounce for ounce, salt was traded for gold. Salt. You think, Kevin, seriously? But it's not the salt we're talking about or we see. Originally, the kind of salt Jesus is referring to, there were 84 chemicals and components in each granule or grain of salt. Nowadays, we have a refining process in our manufacturing process. How many realize there's only two elements in salt? What are they? Sodium and chloride. Sodium, chloride. Even sea salt. Now, you can go to your health food store and you can fall into the trap of buying great sea salt. Do you realize that that kind of sea salt is also through the refining process, and most of that, 98% of that, is sodium chloride? There's only 2% of additional ingredient. It's kind of like white rice and white flour and white salt. The good stuff is mostly gone by the time the process, the heating and the separating filters have taken place. The substance of what we are familiar with is a far cry different than what Jesus was referring to. Jesus was speaking about a real deal. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, the context. Remember, what does context mean? With text. That which goes with text. Chili con carne, chili with meat. Context. With the text. What's the context of Jesus saying in chapter 9 and all the experiences? You go through it this way. You begin in chapter 9 with a transfiguration. How many remember the transfiguration? He becomes glisteringly white, and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Peter is just like you and me. A glorious experience. He says, "Lord, I want to camp out at the mountaintop." How many can say amen? I want to be in that presence with Jesus. And so, Lord, can't we build three tabernacles here? This is a fantastic place to be. They come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they get this crowd that's gathered around the disciples that weren't there with the three in the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus says, "What's going on?" And this man says, "I've got my little boy who's got a deaf and dumb spirit, and I brought him to your disciples to cast this spirit out, and they can't do it." And he says, "How long do I have to put up with you?" And he casts out the deaf and dumb spirit out of the little boy. Demonstrates the miraculous one more time. Then, as we continue on through Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die, but I will rise again." And the Scripture says his disciples do not understand. They're terribly afraid. They have no idea what he's talking about. And then on the road to Capernaum, just after he's talked about dying, they have an argument. Who remembers what the argument was about? Come on. What's the argument?
Who's going to be first?
Yeah, who's going to be the greatest around here? And so Jesus says to them, okay, what were you guys arguing about? Can you imagine not wanting to speak up first about that one? Yeah, Lord, I was talking about, I'm going to be the greatest. That's just all there is to it. And so there's a context, and Jesus tells them then about what does it really mean to be a leader, to be the greatest. It means to be a servant. And he talks about and uses a beautiful illustration, receiving children, not causing children to stumble, teaching them about caring with shepherd's hearts and giving their lives away. Then we come to verses 42 through 50, still summarizing. And 42 through 50, basically, Jesus outlines our responsibility as disciples, if you recall the scripture, to be clean, single-hearted in vision and in lives. Remember? If your hand causes you to sin, what are you to do with it? Better to have one hand and go to heaven with one hand than go straight to hell with both hands working. If what you do is full of sin and mixture and steals your soul, you will have rather had only one working hand than both. It's not worth the cost to you eternally. And then it goes on to say, if your foot makes you sin, what are you supposed to do with the foot?
Cut it off.
Better to have one foot to take you into heaven than 2 feet that'll drag you straight into the pit of hell, living wickedly, sinfully against God. And how many know, sometimes, don't look at me just so sanctimonious, sometimes our steps and our feet have taken us in the wrong direction. Someone can say amen? And then he says, and if your eye makes you sin, what does he say? Better to pluck one out, cast it away. Better to have one eye that keeps your life focused on Jesus than 2 eyes full of mixture that lead you to sin and hell. What you do, how you walk, what is the vision and focus of your life? Jesus gets right down where the rubber hits the road, doesn't he?
Yes.
How many love that joyful kind of preaching from Jesus?
Sure.
Keeps us in check, doesn't it? Then he finishes this section, and Pat, if we can go to the overheads, please. This is really something, you guys. Then he finishes this whole section. There's your context. Now we're going to go into the last 2 verses of Mark chapter 9, and I'll have it out of several versions, King James. For everyone, verses 49 and 50, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his saltiness, or saltness rather, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Have peace one with another. All right. That was King James. Let's go to the New King James. See if it gets clearer. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how long will you season it? Oh, my mind works in strange ways. How many remember that old song back in the 60s? If your chewing gum loses its flavor on the bedpost overnight. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, some of the rest of you never heard that song go, where is he coming from? It was a big hit for about a week, promise you. If the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Have peace with one another. Did that get a lot clearer for you? New American Standard, 1977 edition. Let's see how it reads. For everyone will be salted with fire, verse 49 says. Verse 50, salt is good. But if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt where?
In
yourselves. And be at peace with one another. Out of the NIV. Interestingly, you guys, the NIV doesn't have a verse 49. It skips it altogether and goes to verse 50. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And after you read those and all those translations, you can read a whole host more. And what you really do is you stop and you look at Jesus and you go, excuse me. After all that context, those are his verses. Who is salted with fire? Now let me just tell you something. Out of the whole of the New Testament, verse 49 is one of the most controversial, enigmatic scriptures in the New Testament. People have no idea exactly what he meant. There are at least 15 different perspectives of understanding for verse 49. But let me give you the one that I think makes the most sense. That's good. Let me give you the one that I think makes the most sense. Some people say the one that it really applies to is, if you go to hell, you will be salted with salt, which means you will burn eternally for hell. There's a life-giving understanding. Whoever came up with that one was in a good mood. All right, let's take a look and see, though. What really might it mean? Everyone will be salted with salt. How many are included in everyone? Let's see the show of hands. All right. All of us will experience something in our lives called fire and trials. All of us. Jesus allows fire and trials in each of our lives to burn out the dross, to help us burn away the sin in our lives. And we go through refining experiences, and that allows us to be the real deal. Come on, anybody in this room go through any tough experiences in the Lord? How many this week? Let's see the show of hands. Show of fingers. No. We experience that, don't we? Now, you can do one of two things with those rough experiences. You can say, I've had it. I'm done with it. This walk with God makes no sense. I'm out of here. And get bitter. How many know that if you choose that direction, eventually you're going to have to go round the mountain all over again? Right? If you yield to the Lord at all in your life, he's got an experience. He's not a cruel God. He just knows what it takes. All right, my son's here. When my son was a young boy, Daddy had to allow him to go through some tough experiences to make him the strapping, good-looking man of God he is today. Right? Right? Oh, what a good-looker. How tall are you, David? 6'1". See, my other kid's 5'8", and I'm at least 6 foot. No, but he had to go through some experience. I'm 5'10". He had to go through some experience. I used to be 5'10". Is that what I should say? He had to go through some experiences. Every one of us with your children had to allow them to go through some tough times to make them men and women of character. I mean, no, parenting is not easy. It's not easy. And it's the same in the Lord. He says, trials come to help you. If you will embrace him in those times, it's like salt on the sacrifice, and we go through the difficulty and the fire to refine us. Now, I ask you this a lot, and I'm going to ask you one more time. How many in this room want to be like Jesus? I do. And so, therefore, there are things that happen in our lives that we do not understand. Some of it we do to ourselves. Some of it we simply go through the experience of. But if we'll embrace him in those difficult times and hang in together as a family and pray for one another and cover each other in love, we make it, right? Yes. We make it through. All right. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But what? Come on, I didn't hear that very strong. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The trials make you like Jesus if you allow them. So to think when you gave your life to Jesus that you'd never have a problem is incorrect theology, and it is not what the Bible teaches. The student instead will be like his or her master and teacher. Did Jesus suffer? Yeah. filling up the sufferings of Christ, the Bible says. So what he experienced. Now, we don't have to go to the cross. Thank God. We don't have to die for our sins. We couldn't do it anyway and be buried and be resurrected. Only one. Thank God for Jesus. But the Old Testament sacrifices were rubbed and covered with salt, and so too in the New Testament, we go through what he wants us to. But he's with us the entire time. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A what?
Living.
A living sacrifice. So day by day, I said, Jesus, I give you my life in a fresh way today. Fill every pore of my being with your Spirit. Guide and lead me your steps, O God. Make me a man who has your fragrance and your presence, and help me be what you want me to be. This day, more like you than ever before. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? We think, oh man, I surrender to God, that's the big deal. I really, that's a big deal. And he says, that's just your reasonable service. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, you see that every now and then with the police officers who do truly heroic things, or fire people who do heroic things, and they go to interview them and they say, do you know what kind of a hero you are? And how many times do we see them say simply, I just did what I was supposed to do. Did what I was trained to do. And in Scripture, the Bible says, when we go through what he wants us to do, and we respond the way he wants us to respond, that's just my reasonable service. That's what he wants. All right, what's the purpose of salt? Matthew 5, verse 13. Jesus tells us, you, say me.
Me.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Mark 9, verse 50. We've just been through, but it says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Now, the reference here is to the salt that was found in abundance at the Dead Sea in Israel. Incredibly full of value. But if it was exposed to the elements, the sun, the rain, the wind, it could lose its saltiness at times. Then it was good for nothing but to be gathered together, crumpled up, and thrown down on the ground like our gravel today. They would walk on it, trampled underfoot. There was a man, a long time ago, named Mr. Mondrell. He's quoted in several texts. When he went to the Valley of Salt in Israel, said these words, along one side of the valley toward Gabul, there is a small precipice, occasioned by the continual taking away of salt. You could break off some of the salt. And as you would do this, you would see how the veins of salt would go into the rock. And this man said, I broke a piece of it. Of the part that was exposed to the rain, the sun and the air. And though it had the sparks and particles of salt, yet it had completely, perfectly lost its savor. Then he said this, the inner part which was connected to the rock retained its favor, as he proved it. Guys, you get away from the rock, Jesus, how many knows that's when our salt loses its flavor? Come on. You get far away from Jesus and all of a sudden, you taste a little rank. Lo, he stinketh. and it smells just a little. And it doesn't taste so good. And I don't think I want to put you on my food. But when you stay connected to the rock, you retain your saltiness. All right. Let's look at what salt is for. Number one, salt is a preservative. Say with me, preservative. Salt is a preservative. Basically, it's an antiseptic, and it forms a negative function, but it prevents the spoiling meat from becoming more rotten and corrupt. Dean and Paula can tell you this. In tropical countries where there's no refrigeration, people rub salt into the meat to keep the meat from going bad, right? In tropical climates? All right? Our world, church, is rotten to the core. Come on, somebody say amen. Our world is rotten to the core more and more every day. Man, things that used to be unthinkable in our, just in television programs. What used to be unthinkable is what you see all the time portrayed on the screen every time you turn around. Let me just talk for just a quick moment. How many know she's incredibly talented, but I believe her talent is going completely to waste. The brand new, big-selling, huge-selling song from Lady Gaga is called what? How many know? Born This Way. What do you think the message is? And how about, what was her name? Pause. What is it? Katy Perry. A year or two ago, Katy Perry won great big Grammy of the Year for what? How many remember what the song was?
Kissed a Girl.
I kissed a girl and I liked it. Now, wait a minute, church. Clever. I mean, it moves along with the rhythm. Hummable. Singable. You ever thought much about the words you're singing? In our society, you think our kids aren't impacted by what goes into their soul?
Amen.
Listen, church, what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. And there's an insidious plan that the devil has put into our entertainment industry. Now listen, I love music as much as the next guy. I like all kinds of music. Well, some kind I don't, but lots of it I really like. Yeah. But what's the message that goes into your soul? Because what you believe determines how you live. The Bible says homosexuality is what? It's a sin. Is it any more forgivable or less forgivable than any other sin? No, but it's a sin. Homosexuality, fornication, sex outside of marriage, that's sin. Can it be forgiven? Of course it can be forgiven, but it's sin. And the Bible says the text of life, the manual by which we live, is the Bible. Society needs to be informed by truth. And nowadays, what our society wants is no consequence living. They don't just want you to say, don't tell me that it's sin. It's fine to do. It's not just that. Their message is, it's not sin. Because if you have sin, you need a Savior. So you take a look at our culture, you can watch the Grammy Awards, and in 2 minutes be completely grieved with what you're hearing because of the message. Boy, Pastor Kev, you're prude. No, I'm just trying to be salt and light. We are called to be a preservative. Listen, you guys, listen, why do I even go on like this? Because I love my kids and my grandkids. How about you? I love America. God so loved the world. And the devil, if he can succeed at changing people's thinking that there is no sin, succeeds because there's no need for a Savior. Okay? You all with me? You understand? There's mixture. What you put into your soul affects your soul. As a believer, we're called to be a preservative, a life preserver, if you will. Look at each other and say, I'm a life preserver. The Scripture says, the Scripture tells us, death comes upon all men because of sin. For by sin brings death. Decay sets in. There's a stench. Our world needs Jesus. Come on, I said our world needs Jesus. Now, when you walk in the room, wherever you go, you take Jesus, don't you? Do you know when you walked in that room, light and salt and the preserver of life just walked in that room? How many know that without the Christian's presence on our earth today, the world would be going to hell rapidly? Come on. This isn't intended to be heavy. I mean, this is just factual. How many know it was the Christians who started more hospitals around the earth and more orphanages around the earth and take care of the sick and dying and those with AIDS? And we miss it sometimes and we mess up. But do you understand that the world's greatest good has happened because of the Church of Jesus Christ? Be happy about what God is doing through the Church of Jesus Christ. Still reaching the world and helping people who are lost. There's a message. Now, one man said, and we'll move to point number two, one man said that Christians are called to be salt, Jesus said. It doesn't say sugar. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be sweet to people, but understand that sometimes, whether you intend it or not, sometimes salt produces some irritation and pain at the wound. Do you know that sometimes people react with you because of your Jesus, even when you're just trying to love them? I went into a video store, had no contact with this man, ever. And all I can conclude was that it was the Spirit of the Lord in me that reacted to the Spirit in him, because that guy nearly ripped my head off. That was years and years and years ago. And I wrote his boss, and the boss said, "We've had a lot of trouble with this guy," and he was gone. Hadn't seen that man in probably 8 years. Walked in a month ago with my son. The man was back behind the counter, and the moment I walked in the door, had a reactive, terrible spirit toward me. Didn't he, David? David looked at me afterwards. He goes, "What's that all about?" I said, "David, that's called spiritual conflict." And I'm not saying look at me. I'm just saying you've all experienced it too. Let it not be because of what we do, and let's try our best to keep loving him in the midst of it. Our world needs saving. All right, number two, salt is for flavor. First, for preservation or preservative. Number two, for flavor. Salt tastes good. Come on, salt tastes good. Sometimes food without salt is what? Boring. Yeah, of course you can overdo and have problems, but man, oh man, salt tastes good. Christians bring a taste to life. You have a fragrance and a taste of Jesus, and that's why it's crucial that we be the real deal. And there are a lot of angry people in our world today. No joy. And you can help them see Jesus, because all of a sudden they're with you for a few minutes and maybe they can't even put it into words, but something tastes good. I like being with you. Look at each other and say, "I like hanging around you." Now, careful. Tastes good for Jesus. Stay salty. Stay salty. The gospel of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Bible says. You may be the only one of your family and your friends that they will ever see a sincere, sold-out Christian. Bring them the taste of Jesus. Peace. Hope. Love. Don't just be known for what you're against. I know we talk about those things here as we are believers together looking and applying these things to our lives. But when people out there don't know Jesus, bring them the presence of God. Taste good. Number three, salt is white, symbolizing purity. Symbolizing purity. So, preservation, taste, flavor, and purity. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. You know, talk to Daria, where you've had situations where they know you are a Christian, and some people, or even if they don't, some people have just plain reacted with you. You know, it's that kind of thing. So what do you do? How do you handle it? You just keep on being tasting good and being the flavor and being the preserver and being pure. In the world, not of the world. We are called to live pure and different lives, and some people in the world sometimes think that's crazy. They think it's crazy. But if they do think it's crazy, let it not be because we run the way the rest of the world runs. But let's show them something different. Listen, how many times have you had a conversation with somebody where you know they've got a hidden agenda? Come on. You know they've got a manipulative, hidden agenda. How many like being in conversations with sweet, precious Christians where there ain't no hidden agenda? you can just let your hair down if you have much and just be at peace. That's what God wants. That's what God wants from us. Look at James 4, verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know the kind of stress I'm talking about in relationships where there's pressure to go the way of sin? All you can do is love those people, and even if it costs you the relationship, say, I'm sorry, I'm not going that way. I love you. Why didn't you come to church with me instead? Come on with me. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want to love the world, be an enemy of God. The world, the cosmos, the Greek word is cosmos, means the world's system. It doesn't mean you walk around with a placard on, turn or burn, read the book or cook. It's not that kind of thing. It's not saying, you know, the end of the world is at hand. It's bearing the love and the presence of God in your life, not going the way of the downstream world, swimming upstream, but loving people with the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus had dinner. Did you read that in your scripture lately? He would eat with the publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees, who were all religious, got really ticked off at him. Do you think Jesus was sweating it out? I'm going to worry if I sit down and have dinner with these people that they're going to jump sin all over me. I don't think Jesus had that worry. So, purity. Lived in front of him. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. James 1:27, the last part of it. Keep yourselves from being polluted by the world. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, out of the NIV. They think it's strange that you don't look at this. Plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And because of that, they heap abuse on you. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, out of the Message. Of course your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore. It's all right. You're part of a new gang. The Jesus gang's in town. We're called to be pure and different. And do you think you're better? Yeah, I'm saved by grace. How about you? That doesn't mean I think. It just means you need Jesus just like I needed Jesus. Let me show you a better way. Listen, if you don't think you're better because you're saved by grace, I'm not talking about arrogance, but if you don't think you're better, what kind of Christianity are you living? Oh, come on, you're quiet in here. Somebody say, yeah, you're right, Pastor Kev. Preach it. Preach it, buddy. Go. Preach it. I believe this stuff. Oh, okay. Four, salt was used as fertilizer. Somebody say fertilizer. Our lives should help grow something good. Right? Instead of the other. Right? You don't want your life to bring the other kind of stuff. You want your life to bring something good. Life and joy instead of despair and evil. Hope instead of hopelessness. A song instead of a funeral dirge. Ones who want good things for our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities. Don't just be known for what you are against, but be known for the great things you are for. Being a door opener, not a door closer to Jesus. For generations, Christians have accomplished fantastic things for Jesus Christ. People have run for Congress and local, serving on local bodies and helping in their neighborhoods and doing block watches and being a refuge for kids when they come home from school. And it's Christians full of light and life who've got the joy of Jesus to share. That's being fertilizer. So weeds don't grow, but so something good grows. And then salt, 5, causes people to be thirsty. Salt causes people to be thirsty. Our lives should cause people to be thirsty for Jesus. Whether you know it or not, people can see Jesus in you. At the very least, even if they can't identify it's Jesus, they know that you're different. I didn't say strange. They might think that too. But they know that you're different. Why are you different? What happened to you this week? How come I'm such a mess over what's going on in America and you have peace? How come How come these things get to me and I'm so down about it, but you've got peace and hope and life? It's because of Jesus. John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We don't keep people out. We're not door closers. Come to Jesus. Let him come and drink. We're salt. Called to produce great thirst for Jesus in people's lives. Now I'm going to read this scripture. Now I usually do 16 and 17, but I want you to see the whole thing in context. John 3:16-21. I know it's a little bit long, but watch this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already. If we don't understand that, we're not going to put much effort in trying to help people get out of their condemnation and death. Condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Again, we spoke a little earlier, and I'm going to come to a close. People want no consequence living. But church, there isn't such a thing as no consequence living. The truth is, there are consequences. Thank God we have a Redeemer in Jesus. The Savior. Our Lord. Not just one who saved me and gave me fire insurance, but the one to whom I surrendered my life. Let's bring life to the party. Come on, turn to each other and say, let's bring life to the party. Say it again. Let's bring life to the party. Come on, say it one more time. Bring life to the party. Stay salty. Come on, look at each other. Say it. Stay salty. Now watch. And as we yield to the Lord in these ways, there's a completion to this paragraph, and it's the last phrase of verse 50. It says, and have peace with one another. When we give attention to making sure that we are full of salt and life inside, sparkle, flavor, purity, preservation, fertilizer, then we have peace together, because our focus isn't even anywhere close on trying to outdo one another or out-control one another. Then our burden instead is, hey, like, how you shining today? Hey, you're tasting salty. Let's go out and give a little salt away. What do you say? Let's go out and be the great salt lick for the world. Okay, maybe not. That's not such a great image. We have life to give away. And when our focus is on giving away that light and that salt, we don't have to worry about who's in charge and who's in control. We just love Jesus with our whole soul, and we want to see people saved and redeemed. And we want to be the best preservation, flavor, fertilizer, and anything else, the other two I said. We want to be the best salt we can be. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you that one more time we've had the privilege of coming to learn of your ways. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us, that you've redeemed us. And Lord, you've put salt and light within. And Lord, our prayer is that we will bring the flavor of your presence, the preservation, and Lord, the life to this area. Wherever we go, that you go, as we get to represent you, living in purity, keeping the taste of Jesus. Now this week, Lord, as we go forth, we believe there'll be fresh opportunities to share that salt and that light wherever we go. Let people become thirsty. And Lord, you've told us we'll have the words in that hour to share the reason of our hope. We love you, Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you surrender personally your life to Him. If you've already done that and you need a healing touch in your body, or you need something to pray about or someone to pray with, we'll be here to pray with you. We love you guys. God bless you. Have a fantastic week of the Lord.